Okay, Rabosai. Simon Shin Samach Aleph. Mevatlan Tamator Lohotzas Hameis. Laman Hapat. Who has to be Mevatlan Tamator for the funeral? Hotzas Hameis means the funeral. We'll contrast that with Beis. Laman de Masni Laacherimait, where is Mechalik between Tani and Masni? The Torah seems to have had a strange pshat, which is a bit of a Shizus Yachid, that. Tani means learn Mishnayis and Masni means Mishavish to get a Chumsis and Mishnayis versus Gemara. But everyone else says, like this Mechaber, Tani means learn for himself, Masni means taught others. So Lamanda Masni, Lachir, somebody who teaches to give Shir, Ain't no Shir, affiliation will come out, love him is Batal with Shiloh. It's unlimited. You need an infinite number of people to inhabit him at the Levayas, and no matter how many people are, you still need to be Batal Tamar Torah to go. Laman de Kari Vitani. How about someone who learned Kari Vitani, Torah Shabbat Vechsav, and Torah Shabbat Peh, the Hainish Akura Vishana, the Dain Loshana Talmidim? He learned Tanakh and Mishnah, but didn't teach. And Yeshi Shemri, Roin Tarkas, by the way, Shvilo. Okay, I don't know how common that is. There are already 600,000, then the 600,000 first doesn't need to go because 600,000 is enough. Why is 600,000 enough? Since this fellow knows Torah, since the Torah is given at 600,000 and now it's taken back up to Shemayim. So likewise, you need 600,000. The Mandalo Karibatani, how about someone who did not do Mikra and Mishnah, who didn't learn? So you need 600,000. The Torah didn't go back up to Shemayim. So came Shemayim, he says, as long as there's enough people to bury him, you don't need to be in battle, you just need enough for Kavanah Meis to do the burial. You might think the burial needs just, I don't know how many people it takes to dig and to bury, etc., five or six, whatever it may be. But the Rishonim right, Rishisham Asara. No, it means you need a minion. Why? Because we consider a minion to be the needs of burial because there's Kaddish and other things that you only say with a minion. There are things in those days that you only say with a minion. Therefore, the needs of burial include the ritual needs, not just the physical needs. So you need a minion. Answer. Nowadays, Minastam or Mevatel Talmud Torah to go to Levaya. Because everyone, either nowadays, I guess at one time the Emirates were worse. I don't know if you meant nowadays, but in his days, everyone knows either, you know, Chumash or Mishnah. Everyone knows some Torah. Interestingly, the Achronim point out the Shachris of Cut and Bays says if you just read the Mechaber, it sounds like, if you just read the Mechaber, it sounds like Kari Vishana, Kari Vitani, you need to know Chumash and Mishnah, so Torah Shabbos and Torah Shabbos. It's only if you learn both of them, you need 600,000. The Rama obviously disagrees, because the Rama says, after all, everyone knows one of them, so what's Kari Vitani? You know, for example, in Chumash, etc., can sometimes mean and, can sometimes mean or, the Shach's Medayik, that's Stam in the Mechaber, it sounds like Vim means and. But the Ramah clearly thinks that means orcs. He says, b'mikra o b'mishnah. Okay, so we're Ashkenazim, we follow the Ramah. So he says, nowadays everyone is either b'mikra or b'mishnah, so you have to go v'isha. Right? There's a big machlok Rishonim. What about women who are patur b'talmud Torah? So what if a woman's patur b'talmud Torah, but she does what she's supposed to do? Yeshom shidin klan dekari tani, even if she doesn't learn Torah, but she does what she's supposed to do, so that's as good as a man doing what he's supposed to do. But yeshom shidin klan dekari tani. Okay, the machlokas here at Lechora is, you know, is it that the man does what he's supposed to do? She's part of the Talmud Torah, but she does her mitzvos, and that counts. Or is it no special din in the chalos of Torah? And therefore, it's not about, is it about the gavra or is it about the Torah? If it's about the gavra, then if she does her job, then she's also chashav. It's about the Torah, then he learns Torah. And if she didn't learn Torah, then you don't need 600,000 people. Chei nogu b'isha v'tinok l'kula, where mekel b'isha v'tinok, you don't need 600,000. Tinoch also, you know, because he didn't learn Torah. You know, little, too little to learn Torah. Okay. So, the Ein Mevatlin, okay, halachal maisa, we'll see. It's a little more complicated. The Ein Mevatlin, it's actually interesting. Some of the Achronim discuss, they make some sort of, some of the Achronim passing like the Yamsha Shlomo, they make a compromise. They say, well, if it's a woman who's a stam, you know, then, you know, perhaps it's some sort of tefidinim. it's a stam woman, then we say you don't have to go. But if it's a woman who's really, you know, a proper firm person in Shemayim that does mitzvahs, etc., then you should go. Maybe there's some sort of tzvei din. If it's, you know, if she's a woman who's really firm and really does the right thing, then for the gafri you go. If she's a stam, you know, person off the street, then you don't have the gavra, you don't have the Torah, so you don't have to go. So a lot of achronim pass like the Amshel Shlomo nowadays. Again, we'll see Arman Hagim nowadays are not necessarily based directly on the categories here, as you probably noticed, Halacha L'maisa. But he continues, Ve'im v'atam tamat Torah l'meis sheish mishis asmo v'atsarko elo osek v'tor. You're not v'atam Torah for a mace when there's enough people to take care of him. What's the chiddush? I mean, we already said the numbers. Chiddush is el osek v'tor v'in tzarko lotzei slurus l'meis mishis v'atsarko lav, that you can learn, you don't have to check. Right, you. After all, how do you know if you haven't showed up yet? Right, this is before cell phones. You haven't showed up yet. How do you know any people are there? Nestam, you learn, and you know misafik. You don't have to go. Why? Because if there's someone who takes care of it, your Talmud Torah is first. Your Talmud Torah is first. The lashon is a little. I admit is a little unclear. The lashon is a little unclear of the mechaber. What he seems to be saying is that if you're not sure, you can assume there's enough people, and if you assume there's enough people, then you don't have to go. Meaning, was yesha misha samaisa? Mistama, there are people who bury the dead and take care of funerals. Since mistama, there are people who take care of funerals, then you don't have to go. The Taz points out that this is a little tricky. A little tricky for the Ramah. So the Ramah says a stam person nowadays needs 600,000. You know there aren't 600,000. Like we're in Europe where there's 600,000 people in one place. Okay, it could be that Israel, you know, twice or three times or whatever since, you know, the last, I'd say 74 years since Yom HaTzmaut, but the last 2,000 years. What? Maybe again, I don't know what happened, you know, more than 2,000 years ago, but you know, in the last 2,000 years, maybe once or twice, there's 600,000 people. Clearly, in Europe, in the days of the Machaber and Arma, in Eretz Yisrael, in the days of the Machaber, in Europe, in the days of the Arma, there is no Havmin of 600,000 people anywhere, so it's a little funny. The Machaber, he's talking to a Stam person, okay, Stam person doesn't know Torah, so you can assume there's enough people to bury him, you can assume there's a minion. What about the Ramah? It's a little funny. I think you have to say like the Taz. The Taz says that this must be against the Ramah. According to the Ramah, if a stam person needs 600,000, then the whore you have to go. There's no suffering anymore. You know there aren't 600,000. Okay. Taz, just the Ramah would say stam person, you have to go. The last line, again, we'll come back to some of the details. The last line is, Vitinoko shall be Rabban, Ain Misbatlin Klal. What about Tinokos shall base Rabban, meaning not adults learning Torah, but kids learning Torah. Kids learning Torah are more chomer than adults learning Torah, and they don't have to go to Levi at all. Why are kids more chomer than adults? Usually for mitzvahs. You know, an adult's mitzvah is more chomer than a kid's mitzvah. So the Shach brings down a chakir about this. He says, he quotes the Ateres Zohar, meaning the Levush, who says, because kids can't do anything for a mace. They're too little to help. What do they dig? They're too little to help. And therefore they're potter from Otsasa mace because they're too little to do anything. But almost no one agrees with him. The Shach and I think all the Achronim Pasul like the Tor, he says, no, not because kids are too little to help. It's because the learning of Tinokos Shel Beis Rabban is more important than the learning of adults. Even though, you know, when it comes to doing mitzvahs, I think everyone would agree the sukkah of an adult is more important than the sukkah of a katan, because the adults have the rice and the katan's only chinuch and who I did for everything else. When it comes to a special halos called Tinokos Shel Beis Rabban, educating the next generation in Torah, that is more important than anything. No, it's very nice if an avreich is sitting and learning for many years, but that's not, you know, the future of the Jewish people and passing on our Mesorah and keeping the flame alive. Tinuk HaShel Beis Rabban is, and his proof is, that we're not Mevatel Tinuk HaShel Beis Rabban for Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Okay, he's assuming, which is the Pashup Shach, we're Mevatel Talmud Torah for Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, Tinuk HaShel Beis Rabban is more chomer, not that they can't help in the funeral, but rather the Shach says like the Torah, it's just more chomer than learning of adults, very fascinatingly, but very logically. One second, what else do I want to mention here? Let's just point out one other thing from Sif Beis. What does it say in Sif Beis? I think when they're learning Torah.
Saying middle school, high school, like what?
You mean how old are you no longer to know Mishol Beis Rabban? Right? How young? That's pretty easy. Obviously, 3 years old, they're not learning Torah, they're not to know Mishol Beis Rabban, although they probably should go to funerals anyway. At what age do you graduate from being Tinoko Shalvais Rabban to being an adult? That's a great question. You know, is it only until Bar Mitzvah? I'm not sure. It's a good question. Yeah, that's like if, you know, if anyone, that's like a Bar Shochet question, you know, like, me. Anyway, I'm not sure. Or that's like a Chaim Kanievsky question that he'll pull out, a Sifra or Tikkuni Zohar that you can die exactly to get it to know the Shabbat Rabbah. Okay, so sorry.
The Kanievsky says until Bar Mitzvah, the Mishnah.
Okay, I mean, you have to see. Again, Wikipedia quoting a Mishnah in Yoma is not. Ironically, it's not as strong as Wikipedia quoting, you know, Mishnah Berurah. Okay, could be till Bar Mitzvah.
Okay, they say,
yeah, I know what they meant by it. I know it's Mishnah Yoma. I'm aware of Mishnah Yoma. That's what I meant. It's not such a good proof. If Tinok, when the Mishnah Yoma discusses how long the fast means till Bar Mitzvah, doesn't necessarily mean it means the same thing here. And that's what I meant, you know. Based on the Mishnah, they're sushtel that it means the same thing. Tinokos doesn't have to mean the same thing everywhere. Again, if they were quoting the Mishnah Berurah, then it was his sushtel, that would be a halakhic authority. Wikipedia is, unlike what most people think, is not a halakhic authority. That's a very important point. I think if there's one thing which I'd like to educate the masses about, is that Wikipedia is not a halakhic authority. And if they could go so far as to make a binyan av to what else is not a halakhic authority, meaning other random websites, then that would be a tremendous tellos. Okay, random websites are not a halakhic authority. You can feel free to quote me on that too. Not even all websites that are from, you know, Torah organizations are a good halakhic authority. But that, I'm not going to say names, I'm not going to speak to quote me on. But certainly random websites are not halakha authority. Okay. Halakhapedia, that, A, is, you know, we know who they are, and B, they quote sources very, very extensively. Okay. Viker. And, you know, we have certain institutional loyalty. Sif Beis, what does it say in Sif Beis? I'll read you from the middle of Sif Beis. Sorry. Uvashaso tsa'a mevat lemi kol shar melacho zubam lil boso. People who are working and not learning Torah, at the funeral they always come. There's no limits. Afilu lo kari v'tani. Even if he never learned a word of Torah. Deloma flagina bein lo kari v'tani l'bitul tamo Torah. Shar melacho zafilu lo kari v'tani akol b'tein l'bal lil boso. Okay, what is they all of Sifalos Matal Talmud Torah? But to be Vatal work, everyone has to come. And what does it mean to Matal Talmud Torah? It says the Shach's got not appears Kovalavato, Kino Poskin. You're chayiv to be Vatal Talmud Torah based on the three levels of Sif Aleph, and you're chayiv to leave work regardless. Okay, what question could you ask on this? I mean, why does no one keep this whatsoever, right? You know, we've never heard of people being mocked on this. First of all, people don't always leave work to go to funerals, no matter what the number. And people don't always leave yeshivas to go to funerals for a stompers until he has 600,000 people, which, again, no one ever does, with rare exceptions. So why don't we keep these halachos? What?
Not working in the entire community. That was the whole spot, like on the city or town. It's not always happening.
I don't understand. Like, Yerushalayim? I understand. You could say maybe if you live in a long shvat, you don't have to go to every funeral in Carmiel. But how about in Yerushalayim? How about in Brooklyn? How about in Teaneck, etc.? It's a big mystery. Lechora, it must be that we rely on the Netziv. I meant to bring the Netziv up. The Netziv and the Hemek Sheila discusses three places. If you want to look it up, it's in the Peirush on the Shiltos, Shilta Yodalit, Sukkot and Beis, Shilta Yodalit, Sukkot and Gimel, and Shilta Lamedalit, Sukkot and Beis, 14.2, 14.3, and 34.2. The Netziv says in a few places, he says it must be that this all ties into Sif Gimel, Roes Hameis Ve'enim Lavehu, that all of these halachos are only if you see the mace. All these, and then he has Diyukim. You know, I don't know if he has a Mochrach Diyukim, but says in it said that all of these halachas are only if you see the mace, not if you just heard that someone died.
Exactly.
No, I assume you see the Aron, that counts as seeing the mace.
You mean like when you see one of those,
We'll get to that in a second. But yes, I think so. When did you ever see one of those covered Isha cars?
I mean, it's when they're driving through, you have to stop, like, and wait for them to go.
Okay, so well, let me come back to that in a moment. Yeah. Let me come back to that. Okay, yes?
There's quite a coincidence. I mean, even though it's going to be there.
No, I think it will still go. I think it's so. Anyway, it says that it's Siv. It must be that we rely on the Siv. I saw in some of the Monday Post game. Says we must rely on the Tziv, who says that these halachas are titans of Gimel. Haroes hameis ve'inim labeo ogush lod rush. It's usher's lod the rush. It's disrespecting the mace to not go to the levi if you see him. Maybe these chiyuvim are only if you see him. But if you don't see the mace, then there's no chiyuv, and that's why we're not mevatel talmud Torah and malacha to go to every funeral. Then why? And when are we mevatel talmud Torah and malacha generally? When we have some connection with a person, right? I'm not talking about dolim, etc. Generally, we're mevatel our learning and our work when we have some connection with the person, even if we don't see the mace. Okay, why is that? I mean, we could just say common sense. But actually, it's interesting. There's a Yerushalmi in Pesachim, which has a machlokas about this, and says, that was Bishkenaso. Not exactly clear what it means, but the Ramban in the Torah of Adam says that what it means is that you have to go to every Levaya if it's your neighbor. If it's your neighbor, then there's an extra chiyuv to go to the Levaya. That Yerushalmi is in one particular context. The Yerushalmi is in Pesachim. Quoted in the Ramban Torah Sa'adam, but it could be that that's our minhag. Our minhag is like the tziv, that if you don't see it, see the mace, you don't have to go. But if it's someone who you have a close relationship with, then you should go. And that's generally our minhag, that we try to go if it's someone we have a relationship with. But there's no, certainly much of Yvatal Talmud Torah, if it's someone who is socially appropriate to a Rabbaya. But the etzem, we're make it like the tziv, that you don't have to keep Sif Aleph and Beis if you don't actually see the mace. That's a chiddush, but, that seems to be the minhag
olam. All these given that in the Batal Talmud Torah is already once he saw it, and then he doesn't know if he's going to take care of it?
Yeah. Just to see the mace doesn't mean you know how many people are there. Again, maybe you can find another explanation. But that's the explanation I've seen for our minhag olam, that we don't do any of these things. You know, and don't say, the reason we don't do these things is because in the old days, you know, only a few people lived near the Mason. Nowadays, so many people can't be bothered with them. Doesn't make sense because they say 600,000 people should come. So they didn't have more than 600,000 people. So in those days, 600,000 people should go. Why now? They should 600,000 people go? And not that we're really 600,000 people. It's just a lot of people. So it could be like the Nativ. That's the only explanation that I've seen. If someone sees another explanation, I'd be happy to hear it. But it's just good to know that we're not all of our young for not doing nothing all day but doing funerals. We're possibly like the Nativ. Base. That's when we have the Levaya. But in between the Ptur and the Levaya is like just taking care of the mace before the Levaya. Calls Mashamutal a Kufro when he's just waiting to be buried. You're not Mavatal Tamatora, even though there was perhaps some minute once Shachos the Agoda to be Vatal Tamatora, as long as the even before the Levaya. Really, that's not the halacha. And the shach brings down. Okay, in some place they have the halacha because like everyone learned. So in towns where everyone learned, maybe they're vatalim and talmud Torah. But okay, nowadays everyone doesn't learn. And what's the halacha? Called vatalim to cover in vatalim shiel talmud Torah. Ela im yesh chaburus beirsh kolach the second yoma yoma. Also she'ena yoma muteres bein believing being shar malachos. Okay, what about pre levaya? This is actually where we get the word chaver kadisha chaburus. They say, if there are chaburos, what a chaburos means? In those days, it wasn't like our chaver kadisha. Chaburos means the whole town was in the chaver kadisha. They each had their day. If there are chaburos, then whoever's on shift is mevatel. That's the whole point of being in the chaver kadisha. Whoever's not on shift can work and can do whatever they want. Okay, nowadays, the equivalent is not that we have shift. We have a chaver kadisha. If there's a chaver kadisha town, all Jewish towns have a chaver kadisha, then whoever is in the chaver kadisha has to be mevatel and take care of the mace. That's the whole point of being in the chaver kadisha. And whoever is not in the Chaver Kadisha can do whatever they want. That's our minute nowadays, that there's no Havamim that anyone's misbatel until the funeral, because we have a Chaver Kadisha. Lu Yitzu, you live in a Jewish town without a Chaver Kadisha, then that would be very chomer. You'd have to keep this halacha, which means that, as we'll see in a moment, when we get to the end, if you're in Kolel, you should keep learning Kolel, but if you're at work, you have to leave work. What if all the people at work aren't so firm and refuse to leave work? People in Kolos, leave Kolos and take care of it. But again, all normal Jewish places have a Chaver Kadisha, so we don't have to worry about it. Let's just continue. I'll read again. Ushaso tzom evat mi kol shar melachos uban levosa afilu akari v'tani lomach v'gidim ein akari v'tani el of the zitol hamatarvul v'shar melachos afilu lo akari v'tani yakol b'telim uban levosa v'im ein chaburis ba'ir what if no chaburis there you kol v'alam melachos shrichin l'esbatel v'sasek bo Achi cover with Hamatorian Chicken's battle of Shas also to Amran. Like you said, if there's no Chabura, everyone has to leave work, but the people in Kolel should keep learning in Kolel, obviously, if that's possible. Again, this is really the origin of Chevra Kadisha. I'll just the Pisri Chuba here is a very long Pisri Chuba of Katan Aleph about politics of Chevra Kadisha. Ad Hayomazah, the minig is that Chevra Kadishas have a lot of politics. And he discussed two kinds of politics. And again, we're not going to paskin here because these are very subtle, depending on the circumstance. The first politics was both dealing with the monopoly of the Chevra Kadisha. Does the Chevra Kadisha have a monopoly? Where does that come up? Number one, what if someone else wants to participate in the great mitzvah of, Kavanah Mason, Furis Mason? Do they have to say we have a monopoly? You know, this is actually a big, I think it was that's big politics. We're like the exclusive club Chevra Kadisha, and they won't let me in, and I'm resentful, et cetera, and they're haughty, and I'm pushy, et cetera. This is really like Pope rabbis have to deal with these politics. What is the mainstream halacha? The mainstream halacha, again, I'm not paskining because, when it comes to politics, the real answer is when it comes to politics, you shouldn't paskin. You should try to deal with the issue and get people to behave. But Lemaisa, the Chasam Sofer makes a lot of sense. Says the Magen Avraham, says my Ram, even if the Chevra Kadisha has a chazakah, anyone who wants to can do the mitzvah. Says the Chassam Sofer, though, that doesn't mean they can compete with the Chevra Kadisha. No, the Chevra Kadisha is a sort of thing. It means they can join the Chevra Kadisha. Okay, that seems to be the Iker Sak, is that the Chevra Kadisha has their monopoly, and you can't open a competing Chevra Kadisha, but they shouldn't be exclusive and, you know, and snooty, and they should let people join who are qualified. You know, okay, obviously, who are qualified, etc. It's very touchy. But that's the Iker Din, is that you do respect the monopoly of the Chevra Kadisha, but they should let people join whenever possible, assuming that they are qualified. What if someone thinks he's qualified, but he's not? Okay. Then someone has to deal with it. The other issue is, what about the fact they charge a lot of money? Says the Magen Avraham. Also, the Magen Avraham stands up for the monopoly of the Chevra Kadisha here. And he says, you have to pay them whatever they charge. You have to pay them whatever they charge. Basically, you can't just say, you're charging too much money, so I'll bury you without it. You have to pay them whatever they charge. Says the Chassam Sofer again. Basically, he's moderating these Pesachim Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham was against the monopoly; everyone can do it. Says no, that means they can join the Chevra Kadisha. They can't compete. The Magen Avraham here says, I support the monopoly. You have to pay them whatever they charge. Says the Chassam Sofer. Well, what if you're never signed up with them, etc.? Do you have any chiyuv? And says no, that maybe means everyone in town. But then he says that's only if it's a fixed rate. So interestingly, in Europe, what the Chevra Kadisha often used to do is, you know, they have you they definitely get them all the yonah. Someone dies, we just spin up bearing until you pay us money. They can extort whatever they want. In Europe, they used to extort whatever they want. Basically, the guy was rich, they just say, pay us like. What? Yeah, it would go to. Correct. It was not a for-profit business in those days. Although, you know, the line is always a fine line. He says it has to be like something where there's a clear minhag and it's established precedent. They can't make it up on the spot, even if they charge the rich people a little more than the poor people. But it can't be they make it up on the spot. It has to be a taconic fool of the ear. And okay, again, in Europe, in some places, they do one thing, some places the other thing, but the Ikra law is like some sofer, you have to pay the Chevra Kadisha, but it has to be a takana kvua, and they can't just make things up and be a, you know, mofishi and lokitzva and take advantage of people. The people are stuck, they have to pay what the takana and the minig of the city is to pay. Okay, that's part of life. We're often stuck paying taxes. What if the government says, we'll put you in jail if you don't pay taxes, we're stuck. Too bad. Here they say, we'll bury your father if you don't pay. What's makubal? That's fine, as long as they're not making things up and just doing whatever they want. How could they say that? How could it's a great question. But apparently they have a chiyuv of Purus HaMeis, but they have a chiyuv of the tircha of Purus HaMeis, but not the expenses. The expenses are on the yorshim. So obviously they can't say, if the Yerushim don't have money, they can't say we're not burying that money. And, you know, they, but.
If the Yerushim says no, like I'm not doing that, and they don't have to bury it.
Apparently that's Makobola. They have the right that it's not their fault. It's not the Yerushim's fault. They're playing chicken with the Yerushim. What? Theoretically, yeah. But you know, getting money out of someone. Yeah, Lamaisa. Yeah, but try getting the money out of him, Balkar. Okay. Anyway, we're not going to pass on these things now. Again, in Europe, it was a big deal. Nowadays, generally, it's not actually that in America, the Chevra Kadisha doesn't charge anything. They're usually volunteers, the funeral homes that do it. And the cemeteries charge for the plots, the funeral homes, and there it's a flat rate. And you pay for what you pay for. It's not a big deal. And the Eretz Yisrael, the Chevra Kadisha is the funeral home, works together. And they charge a lot of money for things, but they always have a free option, which is paid for by Bituach Lumi. So nowadays, the Chevra Kadisha in Israel, they charge a lot of money for things. There's always an option of burial. They only charge a lot of money for extra things. And everyone agrees they can charge a lot of money for extra things, even if the extra things are just getting a burial that you consider normal and decent. But since technically there's always a free option, Israel, the government pays for Jewish burial. There's always a free option for a burial that your yotzei b'chova al-fidin. And therefore, nowadays, the Chevra Kadish actually don't charge anything. They only charge for extras. Lamaisa, there are still always physical altercations in Haram Menuchos over, you know, whose idea of what's extra and how much it costs. And it's, you know, it's Mugzam, et cetera, it's an exaggerated cost, et cetera. But again, al pi halacha, clearly it's a fixed rate. They don't make anything up on the spot. Everything is, go to the website of any Chevra Kadisha, and they'll tell you, or you call them up if they don't have a website, and they'll tell you exactly how much everything costs. It's only a surprise because most people don't research this beforehand. And they only charge for the extras. So lemaisa, you can have policy questions in hashkafa, whether you disagree, but al pi halacha, you know, all the Chevra Kadishas are doing the right thing. I'll be Allah nowadays. We'll get to that. When it comes to, let me just point out one thing. There's a big difference between Israel and America. In America, you pay for a plot in the cemetery. A plot in the cemetery is just a plot in the cemetery. Each cemetery charges a different price. So that's not a ton of money. And I don't think it's really extra. It's like, I'm not a bucky, but I don't think they have like, oh, extra plots, whatever. At the funeral service could be fancy schmancy, whatever. They're always trying to sell you a lot. And you should dafka not pay for extras in funeral service, like rubbing a wheel. You should have a posh funeral service. You should not pay for extras for fancy coffin, etc. It should be mechubet. So in America, you should really avoid paying for extras as much as possible. That's why I said that you made a whole deal with the funeral homes using their leveraging their market power to avoid all extras, to make it mechubet without extras. In Eretz Yisrael, we'll get to it. It's a totally different, like the extras are different things, etc. We'll get to Eretz Yisrael in a moment. Because again, in America, a plot is a plot, just this much by this much land. The extras are all the fancy service and the fancy coffin and this and that you should really try to minimize. If they have an option of the halachic minhag versus, you know, if you want to pay almost nothing and get something that's not l'fi a minhag, they won't give you linen shrouds, etc. Then you should pay for l'fi a minhag. That's included. But that's not the big deal. They funeral homes make money on fancy schmancy. That's what non-Orthodox Jews are into. That Orthodox Jews really try to avoid that in the spirit of Roman Gamaliel. We'll get to Eretz Yisrael in a second. I just need some time to think in my head of how not to insult Eretz Yisrael before we get to it. So I'm going to stall and do some more Shulchan Aruch meanwhile. Sif Gimel. Sif Gimel. How do I use my page? Ha-ruas ha-meisa inim la-veo omer shum lo-eg la-rush. Ubar nido hu. It's really bad to see a mace and not be malav in the mace. You're even chayiv nidoy, right? Nidoy is like what we call chayrim. Technically, nidoy is less than chayrim, but the same type of idea. Ulefachos yilvenu arba amos, at least arba amos. Meaning, it's good to go to all the way to the grave, but at least arba amos. If you don't go at least arba amos, then you're a loig the rush. You're a really bad person, and you know theoretically, Bezdin would put you in nidoy. How does this interact with Sif Aleph and Beis? Sif Aleph and Beis sounds like you have to go all the way to the kever. So is it all the way to the kever or is it Dalet Amos? The Pesachei Tshuva quotes here from the Yad Eliyahu. He says, no problem. Aleph and Beis is if you don't have, Aleph and Beis is if you don't have enough people yet. Gimel means if you already have enough people. A stomp person nowadays already have 600,000, according to Ramah. If you already have enough people, then Dalet Amos is enough. But if there aren't enough people yet, then you have to go all the way. And that's a big chumrah. If you see a mace, I mean, forget about that. Let's say you're at the funeral in America, right? American style funeral. Remember in America, there's like the funeral home separate from the Beis HaKvaros, right? A graveside service is not a normal thing in America. COVID it was. I know, in America, graveside service means someone who, like, there's no one to, you know, really wants to go to the funeral, etc. You know, it's like a bit of a ceremony. Or it's COVID.
It's changed now.
Have a graveside funeral now?
Yeah.
after COVID? Okay. But it's still not so makabel. It's not like Eretz Yisrael when, you know, the base has faded in his graveside, right? But anyway, Kitzer. But what if I go to a funeral? I remember when I lived in America, you went to a funeral. The funeral was in a place, which was a 2-hour drive from the cemetery, right? And, you know, and so it's this Sif Gimel. What do you do with Sif? What would the Yadal Yo say? He would say, well, if there aren't 600,000, you have to go all the way. But if there is 600,000, then it's enough to go Dalet Amos. Lemaisa says the Netziv, he says, no, he integrated Gimel with Sif Aleph. He says, Gimel is talking about where there aren't enough people. Where there aren't enough people, that's when you have to do Halvayas Hamis. And even then, Dalet Amos is enough if you can't make it all the way. And that's clearly our minhag. Our minhag is even if you see the mace, right? Even if you see the mace, then Dalet Amos is good enough. Not like the Yadal Yahu. The Yadal Yahu says, if there aren't 600,000, you have to go all the way. No, our minhag is like the Netziv. Gimel and Aleph are the same halacha. If there aren't enough people and you see the mace, like Tukin, if there are enough people and you see the mace, then you have to go Dalet Amos. Then you have to do Alvayas Hamis. And at least Dalet Amos, although the more the better. That's why everyone goes at least Dalet Amos. And if you can, you go to the Kever. If not, not. But Dalet Amos you're real too. Okay, well, put this all on the board when we get to Dalet. Dalet. I feel Malkum Shein Tzarek Lelvos Hamis. Tzarek Lam Olipanav. Even in the case where you're putter from Alvayas Hamis, you still have to stand when the mace passes by. Now, what's the case for you? This clearly means you're potter from Alvayas Hamis, even Dalet Amos, right? Because if I'm being malav of the mace Dalet Amos, I'm clearly standing up, right? I'm not, you know, scooting my chair Dalet Amos. So here's the case where I don't even have to walk Dalet Amos, but I still have to stand up. What's the case when I don't even have to walk Dalet Amos? What's the case when I don't even have to walk Dalet Amos? So here's where the Netziv says, okay, now it works well for you. What's the case when I don't even have to walk Dalet Amos? Ah, if there's already enough people. If there's already enough people, then I don't have to walk Dalet Amos because Aleph was integrated with Gimel, only if there aren't enough people. So what if there's already enough people? If there's already enough people, then I don't have to walk Dalet Amos. I only have to stand up. For the Yad Eliyahu, even if there's enough people, I still have to walk Dalet Amos. So if there's enough people, I have to walk Dalet Amos. If there's not enough people, I have to walk all the way. So what's the case when I just have to have to stand up? So the Baal Shulchan answers, it must be that the difference between Gimel and Dalet is whether I'm working or learning Torah. If there's already enough people and I'm working, I have to walk at least Dalet Amos. If there's already enough people and I'm learning Torah, I just have to stand up. Okay, adding a lot in. Let's just put that on the board. Again, for the Adel Yom. Yes. There's a lot. Again, this looks like a very Pashut Siman. There's just a lot of confusion here that he doesn't exactly explain what's the relationship between Aleph and Gimel. What's the relationship between Gimel and Dalet? So the two basic drachim are the Yad Eliyahu and the Netziv. What if you have, don't have enough people, or you do have enough people? Says the Yad Eliyahu, if you don't have enough people, then Chayav Lavos Ad HaKever. I'm not saying there aren't other possible combinations. Well, we'll stick to that. And that is Sif Aleph. What if you already have enough people? Then, if he's Osek B'Malacha Chayav Lilvos Dalet Amos, and that's Sif Gimel. If he's Osek B'Torah, that's not in the Aliyah, but this is what the Baal Shulchan says, then he's Chayav Lamod, and that's Sif Dalet. Okay, that's what the Baal Shulchan says for him. But what would the Netziv say? The Netziv would say, no, if you don't have enough people, if you don't have enough people, That is Sif Aleph plus Gimel. Chayav Lilvos. Well, let's see. Afilu Eino Ro'ehu. Chayav Lilvos Rak Im Ro'ehu. Chayav Lilvos Rak Mo'ehu V'chayav Rak Dalet Amos. Again, Lefachos, it's better to go more, but the Etzem Chiv is Dalet Amos. And if you already have enough people, that is Sif Dalet Chayav Lamud. Okay. And again, the minute is clear, like the Nitzer.
According to Sif, Sif Alef Days is about like the Tachila, Sif Gimel together.
Sif Alef and Bays, first of all, Sif Alef and Bays are combined with Gimel. They're both only if you see the mace. And if you see the mace, you have to be Malave. How much you have to be Malave? Okay, Sif Gimel explains. The more the better, at least Dalet Amos. Sif Alef is just the principle. The principle is you have to be Malave if there's not enough people. Sif Gimel is the details. When do you have to be Malave if there's not enough people? Only if you see them. How much you have to be Malave if there's not enough people? Oh, the more the better, but at least Dalet Amos. Okay. Here you have a very, very nice chakira. We'll just end with this nice chakira of the Taz and the Nekudas HaKesef and the Yad Eliyahu and the Pisvei Tshuva. This Yad Eliyahu is not connected. It's not Lashitase of the other Yad Eliyahu. But what is this din of standing? Right? Who are you standing for? So what does the Taz say? Who are you standing for? Exactly. You're not standing for the mace. There's no, why do you have to stand for a mace? They save off the that's referring to lying people only if it's they save about the nezake. Why do you have to stand for someone who's dead? Is he more chash when he's dead than when he's alive? No, you're standing for the oskim mitzvah. Mehechi tase, you stand for oskim mitzvah. What's the makar? Exactly. The mission bikurim says that people brought bikurim, well, the townspeople stand up for them. Why are they standing up? Because they're doing a mitzvah. Says, I heard this from Schechter, I'm sure people before Schechter also said this. He said that people stand up when the Chassan and Kala walk down the aisle. Why do people stand up when the Chassan and Kala walk down the aisle? He says, not because of a Din Melech. No, not because of a Din Melech. If it was Din Melech, then you'd have to stand up for the Chassan Ol Shever Brachos. He says, no, why do we stand up for the Chassan and Kala walking down the aisle? Because they're on the way to do a giant mitzvah, right? Mitzvah Rabbah says, the Torah's beginning, the biggest mitzvah is to get married. Ah, if someone on their way to bury a mace or to bring the Kurdi stand up for, call shame someone who's on the way to get married, which is the biggest mitzvah of the Torah, you stand up for. That makes a lot of sense, right? Based on this Taz, based on the mission of Bikurim. You don't stand up because he's a melech. You stand up because he's on the way to do a big mitzvah, and you have to honor someone. Why you honor someone walking through a mitzvah? Because you're honoring mitzvahs. That is the Taz says, Mipnei ha'oskim be'mitzvah. Mipnei ha'oskim be'mitzvah. That is the Taz Sifkatan Dalet. Okay, he also quotes, right? And it's a Mefurish Rishalmi. The Taz Sifkatan Beis, it's a Mefurish Rishalmi. That we're not standing up for the mace, we're standing up for those who commit to us. It says in the Bavli that when Rav Huna was being brought to be buried in the cave of burial cave of Rav Chiya's family, one of Rav Chiya's sons said to the other one, stand up for Rav Huna. He said, stand up for Rav Huna. So the Taz here makes a chiluk. It makes a pshar. What's the pshar of the Taz? The pshar of the Taz is, that says the Taz, one dim be oskim a mitzvah based on the Yerushalmi, but there's tvei dinim. Second din is mipnei hameis. If he's a Talmud Chacham, I'll pee the Bavli. He says a mace is no better, but he's no worse than when he was alive. Talmud Chacham, Talmud Chacham. So therefore, he says if the mace is Talmud Chacham, you have to stand up for the mace. And if the Oskim, either way, you stand up for them. Says the Nekudas HaKesef, he says no way. He says you missed the case of the Bavli. I know it sounds a little fantastic to us. He says no. His sons were dead. Dead people stand up for a dead Talmud Chacham because they're in the same Madrega. We never heard that live people have to stand up for a dead Talmud Chacham.
again, what does it mean that dead people stood up for someone? That's not important. Maybe it's in some metaphorical sense. But I'm just saying, what we never heard a chiyuv of live people stand for a dead talmud chacham. Only live people stand for live talmud chacham, and dead people are dead talmud chacham. So says the shach only rak mipnei ha'oskem b'mitzvah. Oh, there's a third possibility. What's the third possibility? The Yad Eliyahu. Says the Yad Eliyahu, according to Pesachei Tshuva here, he says, of I'm choosing Yad Eliyahu. Oh, okay. Shehisig alataz. He doesn't really tell you what it means. He was hisig alataz. But says, if you look up the Yad Eliyahu, he says, you'd think he's the same as the Shach. But you'd be wrong. You'd be jumping to conclusions. He says, no, Tzvei Dinam. Everyone again, they hoskim a mitzvah. That's the Yerushalmi. And number two, he says, mipnei hames afilu eino talmud chacham. Oh, why do you have to stand up for the mace, even if he's not a talmud chacham? So then you cover the mace. Then you should focus on the mace. And standing up is a way of focusing on the, is a way of focusing on the mace. Okay, maybe if the dead people only have to stand up for a funa. Live people that stand up. So basically, the live people that stand up for a mace, the Taz says, only Kitam Chacham, like dead people. Shach says never, and the Elio says always. What's enough, Kabina? Kulial is masking to Yushalmi. No one denies Yushalmi that you have to stand up for the Oskim Mitzvah. Now, Kabina, as they all say, what if there are the Oskim Mitzvah are Goyim? What if Goyim are carrying the mace? I know it's not normally talking about mace, except Goyim carrying the mace. It's talking about mace, except Mr. Elam will say. What if for some reason Goyim are carrying the mace? You don't stand up in front of them. You don't stand up in front of the Goy, who's Osek Mitzvah. So in that case, there would be a machlokas, whether you have to stand up for the mace or not. Okay, not really a, I mean, it could be. Let's say, you know, what? Happening COVID, et cetera. So then the question, you have to stand up for the mace. If you not have to stand up for the mace, okay, it's not a sort of clear hakra here, but it wouldn't hurt to be hakra. But interesting. There it says Kobali Nuyos. So what is that? I don't remember. I don't have it in front of me. So we have my okay, Viter. I don't think so. I think Lamaisa, it's always where it might as well be Machber, because there's not really a downside, it's only going to be high for that. Okay, so hey, or over Malcolm, welcome, shoulder gamers, you can both go shots of the base. What if in the old days, right? Even nowadays, the Aaron would go for the old days, the Aaron would go for 6 months there, it's Israel. So do you have to stand for an Aaron? It depends. If the skeleton is still intact, meaning the bones are not separated, then it's considered a mace, and you have to be alive, sorry. Once the skeleton, like the bones separate and it no longer has the full tsura, then there's no chiyuv anymore. Okay, Simon Shin Samach Beis, Likvar Bekarka. Hanose Meso Ba'orov Lo Kavar Bekarka. You put him in a Aron and not in the ground. Over Mishom Malinus Hameis. That's an Isser of Halonus Hameis. Why? Because it says, son of Lekika Bortik Barenu. It's not considered Kura. If you don't, put him in the Karka. And therefore, it's not Kura until you put him in the ground. Just locking him in an Aron is not enough. Vimnos No Ba'orov Lo Kavar Bekarka in Overlove. Interesting. If you put him in an aron and then bury him, that's not nefeva. What habmina is, you have to put a mamish in the ground. No, if you put him in an aron in the ground, then you are yotze mekol makom yafa lekavur bekarka mamish shiluchotzar. That's the yafa. Yafa. Rebbe said, bury me. Rebbe basically seems to have said, bury me without an aron, bury me straight in the ground. That's why it's yafa. Why does he have filu bechotzar? Because what are the two ways of understanding what Rebbe's based on? What two psukim could be the basis of Rebbe's Sabah. Again, he doesn't, clearly it's not an Isser. Rebbe's not saying don't do an Isser Doraisa. Really, it's mutter to Midaraisa and Midarabana to bury an Aron. After all, the Machot starts, everyone does it, even the promised people. But what's the two ways of explaining what Pasuk Rebbe is based on? What? I can hear? No, because that yields to even an Aron. One possibility is v'chiper ad maso amo. The adama of Eretz Yisrael is mechaper, so bury me without a coffin. In which case, that would only be Rebbe because he lived in Israel. The other pshat is ki offer ata, he'll offer tashuv.
And that seems to be also kapara. Even though Afra Atavi Allah Ratashim doesn't say kapara, but maybe there is Shom saying, maybe it's also kapara. After all, Adam Rishon sinned, and Hashem said, Afra Atavi Allah Ratashim, that's all Afra Tashim is gets you kapara. So therefore, it's a machlokas. Is Rebbe's preference. It's a preference. Al pi halacha either way is mutter. Is Rebbe's preference because of the chiperet maso amo only Eretz Yisrael, or is the preference el offer tashuv everywhere? Either way, it's kavar to bread. And the hachrav, the mechaber, is afilu b'chutz laretz el offer tashuv. But fascinatingly, what's our minhag nowadays? When do we bury that? Where do we bury that in Aron? Only in Israel. I haven't checked every country in the world. But to the best of my knowledge, in all countries in Chutz Laretz, they buried in Aron. And in all countries, in all places, in all cities in Eretz Yisrael, they buried without in Aron. So even though the Mechaber's Hachra was the Karka Mamash of Chutz Laretz, our Minhag is not exactly like the Mechaber. We say, no, v'chiper ad maso amo, it's only in Eretz Yisrael. It's important to bury not in Aron. But in Chutz Laretz in Aron is okay. But that's not strictly true, because we wouldn't totally go against the Mechaber. Rather, what we do is, in Eretz Yisrael, where there's v'chiper ad maso, el afar toshuv, and v'chiper ad maso amo, we minhag is to follow the Mechaber 100%, and just bury without a coffin. In Chutz La'aretz, where it's only a din of afar toshuv, and not a din of v'chiper ad maso amo, the minhag is to follow the Mechaber, but to follow the Mechaber in a compromised way where we're yotzei zayin, even though we don't follow the pshat of the Mechaber. What does that mean? That's what we refer to in the Shach here and the other Mefarshim. He says, it doesn't mean literally you have to bury that in Aron. It just means that even if you bury it in Aron, it should be in the dirt. That's like the compromise of Chutz La'aretz. Right? So it's not that we go against the Mechaber Legamrei. We just take the Mechaber all the way in Eretz Yisrael. And in Chutz La'aretz, we make a compromise. What's the compromise? Says the Shach. We bury in an Aron, but the Aron's not totally closed. Out of Yom HaZeh, you go. Again, I have no idea what everyone does. Orthodox Jewish funerals. The Aron has holes in it. That's what he mentions here. He says, in his days, we don't have this nowadays. There's a minhag that for other people, the Aron would really not have like a floor, I guess just have slats. I mean, it makes people fall out. But for Kohanim, they made a full Aron. But he says, no, even then, there's still holes in it. I mean, he says, like, just naturally there are holes in it. Nowadays, the minhag is we're not chalking fun of everyone else. In Chutz La'aretz, we use an Aron, but with holes in the Aron, see, Mekayim, this Mechaber, partially like he mentions here, but it's not the only thing we do. Again, it's sort of funny. The minhag is to use an Aron in Chutz La'aretz. Why is the minhag to use an Aron in Chutz La'aretz? Apparently, the minhag in Chutz La'aretz is mechubet to have an Aron. I don't think it's like to feel like we're lower than Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the minhag in Eretz Yisrael is to do the Mechaber Kapshuto. The minhag in Chutz La'aretz is to have an Aron, but to try to chop the Mechaber in these indirect ways. Which makes a lot of sense, because in Eretz Yisrael, there's two reasons, and in Chutz La'aretz, there's only one reason. So in Eretz Yisrael, we go 100% without a coffin. In Chutz La'aretz, we use a coffin, but we compromise. What are the things we do to try and use a coffin, but have it as if we're not using the coffin? So the Shach mentions two things, two answers, and we do them both. A, we put holes in the coffin. And if you examine any Orthodox Jewish funeral in Chutz La'aretz, you'll see there are holes in the coffin. B, he says, we actually put pottery shards. The minhag is put pottery shards in the coffin, in Chutz La'aretz, not in Eretz Yisrael. And pottery is dirt, because it's made of afar, and that counts. In addition, nowadays, this was not the minhag in the old days, but nowadays that we have easier travel, the minhag is also, usually most people put a little bag of dirt of Eretz Yisrael in the, a little dirt of Eretz Yisrael in the coffin. Maybe chop a little chikar and also amo, even though it's a bit of a stretch. And that's what the Ber Heitev brings down. Says the Ber Heitev in Sakat and Aleph. Right, it's parentheses. That means he added something himself. Our minhag is we put a bag of dirt under his head, and therefore that also counts. And some people even put dirt of Eretz Yisrael mamash on his face directly. Okay, everyone has their own hagim, but that's already three ways we try to be kind of mechaber, even though we're not going on a self. Number one, holes in the aron. Number two, pottery shards. Number three, we put a little dirt in the aron. In addition, anyone know what we're makbid about how to make an aron? What do we make? What do Orthodox Jews make aronos out of? Right, only plain wood without any metal or other things. Why? Because the wood itself disintegrates, whatever. It's fully recyclable. Right, in the we're environmentally correct before it was cool. It's fully recyclable and it'll disintegrate and turn into dirt. And that's also, ke'ilu, we're putting it in the dirt. As a matter of fact, there's a common chumrah to not even use nails. Even though, again, the nails are not going to be plastic. It's a tiny nail. But most people in the minhag get to actually have wooden nails in the coffin. So that's totally wood. Will totally disintegrate. And therefore, it's not considered to be a real hefsek. Okay, so we do all those things to compromise the time of the cover. But starts with the Yisrael, we just do it exactly, pshuto kamashmo, exactly like it sounds. Okay, there's a whole discussion here in the Pesach Tshuva. I mean, there's all kinds of dunim here, but there's a whole discussion of Pesach Tshuva. What about Eiver Menachai? What if someone like amputated a limb? Do you have to bury that? That also considered within the mitzvah, Pesach Tshuva. Sifkat and Aleph discusses. Again, I'm not sure. It seems to be some sort of superstition that I'm not familiar with. If they buried it, he was afraid of some superstitious sakana. They had to amputate someone's leg. Hoshesh bishom sakana. Some superstition that maybe he died, they buried the leg, or maybe he had to do something with the leg. I'm not familiar with all the practices then. So he says, okay, that's not enough to the Mishnah Doraisa. Rechiv of Kavur to Grenu, that's not going to help. Is the Rechiv of the Raisa of Kavur to Grenu, says the Shvosh Yaakov here. And that is the accepted approach, says the Shvosh Yaakov, that no. Eiver Menachai has no mitzvah of Kavur to Grenu. It's not a mace, it's Eiver Menachai. However, what's the problem with Eiver Menachai? He says, exactly, it's metame kemes. If it's metame kemes, then chash. I mean, there are always two reasons for burial. When we say by a nafel, we think there's no real mitzvah for, but there's still a problem of tumas kohanim. Likewise, Eiver Menachai is a problem of tumas kohanim, and therefore he says, really, you should bury it because of tuma. If there's a chash of some sort of medical reason or even superstitious medical reason, then just make sure you keep it someplace where it can't possibly come into contact with kohanim, even tumas ohel. And you'll be okay. But the chachila bury it for Tomas Kohanim. The minhag nowadays is that we bury even Eiver Menachai for Tomas Kohanim or just Alpi Minhag. And the minhag even is nowadays that that we try to bury with a little kavod, Alpi Minhag. If someone actually owns a kever, then it's good to bury it in his kever before him and be with him. But Lamaisa, the Ikra din is that it's only we did Tomas Kohanim. It's not like kavod of Bufura, even though the minhag is to try and bury it with him if we know he already bought a kever and we know where it'll be. I don't know how many people are really mocked on that. But the Ikra din, again, is as long as there's no pshash tumas kohanim. So in like a lot of hospitals, Jewish hospitals, in Israel, they like collect the Eiver Menachai and they just bury someplace in a cemetery where the kohanim don't go. No, but that's different. That's been a mace, not Menachai. Right, Menachem Mace is much more chumra. Well, we'll get to that.
Going back to coffins,
mm-hmm.
I have seen in America where they remove the bottom.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe we still have that.
Like they'll keep the frame on top.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that's like more of like.
Okay, is anyone maybe I didn't pay enough attention to America? Okay, and maybe different places. What?
Like
Vegas.
You mean
when it's. When it's in the kever.
Yeah.
Meaning they just separate out the bottom when it's in the kever. Okay, that's they didn't pay enough attention. Maybe not everyone has that minhag. Okay, that's a great way of ensuring that That's a great way of ensuring that the he's really in the dirt. Okay.
I think it's like a legal thing.
Okay, but that's a very good aura. I'm checking to see who does it. You know, I know some people, every state has different laws. Some people keep laws more, some people less. You know, okay, you also have to use common sense even when it comes to laws. But, you know, we're not going to pass it out. One interesting minhag is in the second Pesachei Tshuva. He quotes the Chassam Sofer's discussion, what direction do you lie the mace? In the, what direction do you lie the mace? And here he mentions two minhagim, what direction to put the mace. But why do we care what direction to put the mace? Anyone know what his, remember what the Chassam Sofer's reason is? It's just a minhag, it's not ma'akev. Why do we care which direction to put the mace? But why do we care? Because it shows that it shows our moon in Tchias HaMesim, right? Because if there's no Tchias HaMesim, so what's the difference? We're mechabi the body, and then he stays there. But again, it's not ma'akiv the Tchias HaMesim. The point is just symbolically, like, you know, and what if he has to turn around after Tchias HaMesim? You know, he'll be okay. But it's not like to help him have Tchias HaMesim. It's just like to symbolize, it's purely a symbol, to symbolize that we believe in Tchias HaMesim, we put him in the direction that he needs to walk when he's resurrected. Again, he's perfectly capable of turning around, but it's just to symbolize that we believe in Tchias HaMesim, we say, ah, he's going to get up and walk, so why make it harder for him? So therefore, we put him in the direction that he needs to be facing. Ah, the problem is, there's two ways of defining that direction. One way is towards Yerushalayim. After all, when the Mason are resurrected, they need to go to Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't say anything about towards Yerushalayim. The Benik Yisrael is towards Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim towards the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, I guess it's a Mason time. What are you going to go to Eretz Yisrael and go to Luna Park? No, you can go to Eretz Yisrael and go to the Beis HaMikdash. With the Beis HaMikdash, there'll be a Beis HaMikdash. The other minhag that Sam Sofer mentions is towards the gate of the cemetery, because it's Tchias HaMesim, you have to walk out the gate, you have to climb fences. It's not Mechobed. And that's, you know, what? It's a good question. All good questions. Again, this is all symbolic anyway. Lemaisa, okay, everyone should follow their minhagim. Again, if some place has a minhag where they're not makbid, then they're not makbid. It's all a later minhag anyway. In Eretz Yisrael, Rav Tukachinsky writes the Geshur Chaim, the minhag is facing Yerushalayim, or facing the Beis HaMikdash if you're in Yerushalayim. That's the minhag. In some places, the minhag is facing the entrance to the cemetery. So everyone should follow their minhag. Chassam Sofer says, oh, it's good to have both, you know, and Chassam Sofer says, ah, but Taka, where we live, you could either face east or south. Because everyone knows the Chutzlar, Eretz Yisrael is to the east, but it's really, I'm not referring to Denver, I'm referring to, you know, Eastern Europe. In Eastern Europe, it's really in the south, right? Meaning Moscow's in the same time zone as us. So it's really to the south. So he says they can either face east or southeast because our minhag is to consider Eretz Yisrael in the east. In America, Eretz Yisrael is really in the east. Or it's really in the south. I think in New York, you'd have to just face east to do this because Israel's not really very far south. And it's really very far east. Anyway, Lemaisa, and he says, oh, it's good to also put a gate there. Lemaisa, everyone should follow their minhag. The two main minhagim are facing the gate or facing Eretz Yisrael / Yerushalayim. Rav Tukachinsky says in Israel, the minhag is facing Yerushalayim, but everyone follow their minhag. But there is, those minhagim are important because even though, again, it's not necessary and we don't know exactly how they'll get to where they need to go after the Tzimaisim, but it's a good way of showing, of symbolically demonstrating our belief. Okay, before, let's continue. Base. How do you put the mace in the kever? No, so mace al gabo, punu lamala, kadam shu yashin. You lie him on his back, that's just mean covered a mace. It's covered a mace to be lying on his back, looking up as if he is sleeping. Okay, there's different men hugging the height and obviously lying straight. What do you do with his hands? The Gra quotes the Yerushalmi, says the Gra here in Sifkatan, Beis, the Yadav Alibo, hands like this. Gesher Chaim says, no, our minhag is hands like this. Okay, everyone followed their minhag. But either way, it's like sleeping. One important thing, the Shach quotes from the Levoshli, it's our Zahav. He says, hold on, when you put the mace in the kever, what do you put in after him? A lot of?
Dirt.
A lot of dirt. Hold on. You throw dirt in someone's face, is it respectful to throw dirt in someone's face? So in America, it's not an issue. You're not throwing dirt in his face. You're throwing dirt on the coffin. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no coffin. You're going to throw dirt in his face. Isn't that disrespectful? So anyone ever been at a funeral in Eretz Yisrael and seen what they do? So they do exactly what the Shach says here in Sfat Beis. They actually put not cinder blocks, thin cinder blocks. They put cinder blocks above the mace and then start shoveling the dirt. So the dirt doesn't land on his face. The dirt lands on the cinder blocks. Kilu, they make kilu a coffin of cinder blocks on the side and cinder blocks on top, so the dirt won't go on his face. But it's okay because cinder blocks, what are they made of? They're made of dirt. Concrete is made of dirt. So it's all it's all offer, so it's okay. But actually, interesting, we don't actually like put offer like right on top of the mace. There's not offer initially. You know, I don't know how long cinder blocks take to disintegrate. Probably a long time.
So when they're in a kuchin, it just goes straight in and there's nothing there.
In those days, perhaps. Nowadays, that's they fill it with dirt, actually. Or somehow. They at least put dirt. They don't put dirt on his face. Okay, we'll get to that. Gimel. Ein kovrim shnei mesim zebet zat. You can't bury two mesim next to each other. At like stam, like throw them both in the same hole. Elam can you dof and a kovrim masim nei, unless there's a wall mafsik between them. Below mesim zat atzams, or atzams not even a full body next to bones, or bones next to a full body. Right? Meaning each mesim needs their own kever. Avol nikvar ishim b'doktana v'isham b'nakatan v'imbem b'nakatan and etc. says the Shach. Zakol kol sheyoshim v'kayim nikvarim moso. But you can bury a man with his young son or a man even with his young daughter. That's not pritzus. Or a woman with her young son or young daughter or young grandson. Basically, whoever it's not pritzus to sleep together. Right? You know, when you have kids, sometimes the kids sleep in their parents' bed at night. Obviously, at a certain age, and the Gemara discusses this, that would be... very, very strange creatures. But little kids always sleep with their parents. Okay, nowadays in our modern world, little kids sleep with their parents a little less than the old days. But still, they often sleep with their parents. So again, little kids who sleep with their parents, it's also not a bizayin ameis to bury them with their parents or grandparents. But once they're big enough that they wouldn't sleep with their parents, then it would be a bizayin ameis to bury together. And this is only if they're little, says the Shach. What if they're big? Even if it's not princess, it's not because it's princess. A 12-year-old girl could sleep with her mother in the same bed, but that's not princess. 13-year-old boy can't, or less than that. But the 12-year-old girl could sleep with her mother in the same bed. But no, it's not covered if they're adults. It's not midin princess. It's that if you're so young that it's not even princess to sleep together in the bed, then it's like you go together with them, like. When I was a kid, they used to put the baby on the parents' on the mother's passport. Once you're an adult, you deserve your own kever. Okay, lemaisa, I haven't seen us been. You don't have to, just to happen. I haven't seen this us been knowing this nowadays, but it's mutter. I've never seen anyone do it. I've never seen anyone do it nowadays. The interesting thing, which the machaber is, I mean, he doesn't say explicitly, although he sort of does, is how big does the horizontal? Yeah, vertical is coming up. How big does the horizontal hefsek need to be? What does he say? There has to be a wall between them. That is controversial. If you look in the Gilgan Marsha, for example, he says, you need six tfachim between them. And for sure, if it's soft dirt, then everyone agrees. What's he referring to? He's referring to that there's a machlokas tanaim. Do you need six tfachim horizontally between? Or what's the opinion of Shimon Gamliel? Hakol lefi asela. It all depends how hard the rock is. Meaning, if it's soft dirt, you need six tfachim. But if it's hard bedrock, then you can have only a little as long as it's so strong that, you know, it can withstand pressure. And that's the Grah points out. It's funny, the Chacham Tzvikur and the Gilim Arshan and the Yad Avram says, ah, the Mechaber is not Medayik, really passed him like the Chacham, you need six Fachim. The Grah says, no, Mechaber just said, meant what he said, and said what he meant. What does he say? Rashbag, Gomer, Akol, etc. Vizeshikas of Elam Kain, Bechuli, Apasak, Rashbag. So it's a Machlok Zachronim, whether like Pshan and the Mechaber and the Grah, Rabbi Kiva Eger is also like that. He says, Rochav Vav Tfachim, and the Rambam sounds like the Tanakhama, and likewise Bar Tanura, but the Ramban sounds like the Rashbaga Kolofia Selva. Okay, so it's a big machlokus Rishonim, whether he's passing six Fachim or Hakolofia Selva. The Machaber clearly sounds like, it's just, he doesn't say how much. Why? It's just use your common sense, you know. However much, if it's very hard bedrock, a little, and if not, six fachin. However much is really a strong wall. And the Yad Avram and the Gilui Marsha saying no, you need six fachin. Mamayis and the Gesher Chaim says no, we have Rabbi Eger, we have the Grah, we have clearly Lashon Makabra, Kol of Yisrael is good enough. Although everything I've seen the minig nowadays is to leave six fachin. Mamayis and the minig is to leave six fachin, even though the Ikra din. You know, it could be that most Rishonim agree with the Pshat of the Mechaber that a kol lefi hasela, if it's in hard bedrock, then less than six fachim is enough. But as the Chatzis says, in dirt, everyone needs six fachim. Okay, how much horizontal space do you need? Again, the two shitas are six fachim or hakol lefi hasela, depends on how hard the rock is. And the minigolim is to be machmir. Although there's certainly room to be made, as the Gemara could point out, like for Shimon of Leo, like the Pshat of the Mechaber, like the Pshat of the Ramban, Hakolafia Sela. If you're stuck, and if you're really stuck, Pesach Chuva brings the Shos Yaakov that, like, if you live in Chutzar, the guy don't let you bury, and they won't let you bury any place but here, you have no room, then you do whatever you can, and you compromise. It goes better than nothing. Okay. A Dalit, how about vertical? Ain't no such thing. You can't put two aronos on top of each other. You're not some kofin elyon shiyifet. And what if someone did bury two coffins on top of each other? Then you forcibly remove the top one. Why? Because the bottom one was there first. So it's the top one's fault, and you bury him someplace else. The miyeshmin offer shisha tfachim motor, but there's six tfachim. Again, it's not outside vertically, and that is good enough. Okay, this is also a okay. Says the shach here also dalid. What if sure. What if there's no place else to bury, the going won't let you, etc.? Then you're stuck. You know, if it's impossible, you do what you can. But really, we say six. However, that's a big machlokas. Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that the Ramban in Torah Sodom says three tfachim. He says three tfachim. Okay, it's machlokas whether that's really what he meant or what he or not. Because six tfachim is the Tanakhama horizontally. Vertically, it's not so clear. So maybe three tfachim is good enough. Three tfachim, love it. It's a different place. Lamaik said this is a big machlokas. The Mechaber says six tfachim. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, well, he says two things. First of all, he says, what if there's no space? You run out of room to bury. What do you do? Says there's an option. He says, what if there's no space? You run out of room to bury. Do you put on top with zero tefachim in between or with one or two tefachim in between? He says, no, there's always an option. I mean, not always, but usually an option. You could go dig the grave, dig it deeper, put the first guy deeper, then put six tefachim, then put the second guy. Lamaik said it's a big machlokas, whether we need three tefachim or six tefachim. Rabbi Akiva Eger in the end says three tefachim. Mechaber says six tefachim. The minhag is to have six tefachim. Okay, the minhag ha'olam is really to be machber in both beis and gimel, horizontally and vertically, to have six tfachim. Let's just finish up hey and vav, and then I want to discuss some halacha lit ma'isa. Hey, ain't kovrim rasha itzol tzadik, afilu rasha chomer itzol rasha kal. Okay, this is the first thing tomorrow. Remember, this is Rus and Naomi had this discussion. Can't bury even a big rasha by small rasha, right? We have separate cemetery for the niskolim v'nisrafim versus the Neragim v'nechnokim. V'chein in korban tzaddik, the Shach says, should say, v'kolshi in benoni, or eitzel chasin muflag, either way. Chasin muflag, just like a big Russia is in different ways than small Russia, a big chasin, a you know, Gadol HaDor, whatever, is not with a regular good Jew. Aval Korban Baal Tshuva is Tzad HaGomer. But, okay, we know Baal Tshuva can't play Tzad HaGomer. That's fine. Even if he did every in the book, as Machal every Shabbos and ate pork and shrimp every day till the last 5 minutes of his life when he became a Baal Tshuva, you're very on the Tzad HaGomer. Although, interestingly, here is a big philosophical idiom. We're not getting into it. It says, Shach and Vav, quoting the Bach. Ah, there's even the Tzad HaGomer and a Chosid. Meaning, above the little Tzad HaGomer, Baal Tshuva might not be the little Chosid. That's very interesting. We're not going to get into it. That's a whole philosophical question. But Lemaisa, I haven't seen people be so mocked on this nowadays. You know, there is something, you know, they have like, you know, in our Nukos place where they bury Gedolim in a special part, etc. But for the most part, certainly in America, I've not seen a lot of, some people try, you know, there's like from people who make their own like from cemeteries, so they're not buried next to the assimilated people. But in general, people are not super macro on this nowadays, I assume, because, says the I assume because, you know, this is all the chachila, and it's not always, you know, in our modern day world, it's not always possible, and sometimes you have to score a bit. Say though, so that's a nice idea. But Lemaisa, Yatsa Skarbev Sado, if we really try to knock it on this, and we World War III. That's, I think that's why people are not super knocked on this nowadays. Okay, Vav Shnei Shri Sonum Zalazayin the Korbam Yachad. If two people hate each other, you shouldn't bury them. Yachad means next to each other. Okay, then the fine print here, the Beis Lech Yehuda discusses what if there's no other room, etc. And he said, maybe you still shouldn't. Okay, Lemaisa, you know, hopefully we don't have so many sonim zaytz as that, but we try not to bury sonim next to each other. In many, we try not to bury people who hate each other next to each other. But hopefully people shouldn't hate each other so much. Okay, I want to mention one or two things. Someone mentioned the law, right? The law in many places in the Chosos is you have to use an Arum. Maybe that's what we do. In some places, they're much more strict than that. Because you know what a water table is? I know, if you live in a strong water table. Okay, in a lot of places, you know there's groundwater? There's water that seeps under the ground, right? That, where does a mayon come from? Comes from a place where somehow gravity indirectly makes the water seep out of the ground, come out someplace. There's always the water that seeps under the ground is in the lowest level of soil. That's the idea of digging wells. Right? What do you do a well? You just dig down far enough that you hit the water table. That's where above here the dirt is dry, and below here the dirt is saturated. It's soaked. If you go down and you dig out where the dirt is soaked, then you'll always get water. That is a well. Not a bore, but a be'er. That's why be'er is my pie. It's scrambled. Anyway, in some places, and Eretz Yisrael, it's hard to find water. But in some places in America, the water table is not so far down. For example, in Florida, what does no one have?
Basement.
A basement. Why not? Because the water table is like 3 inches below your feet. And it's just like, if you build basements, it's just too hard to keep the water from getting into your basement or ruining your basement. You always have to waterproof the basement well. But it's one thing to waterproof the basement in case there's sometimes moisture there. Another thing, if it's constantly, no one has basement in Florida because the water table is too high. You know, Louisiana, it's even higher. In some of these places, they have laws that you have to bury in concrete tombs because if it's very unhealthy for public health, if the water table is, you know, 6 feet under, right? Or whatever. If that's under the water table, then all the groundwater saturates the mixim as they decay with all the bacteria and everything, and it just goes into the water and goes into people's wells. And, I mean, that's where plagues come from. So it's really not a good idea. So they require you to bury in concrete to be waterproof, etc. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. I think Chelek Gimel, Siman Kuf Mem Beis, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. What do you do in places like that where you have to bury in concrete? You know, how are you mekayim the karka? So he says, concrete, luckily, is made of dirt, so it can count as karka. But he says, lechatchila, preferably, you should first put the concrete in the ground, attach it to the ground, then put the mace there, and then seal the top of it. as opposed to sealing the mace in concrete and then lowering it into the ground, because then you're putting the mace mamash into mechubar lekarka. So he says, preferably you should put the mace into mechubar lekarka, but on mice, the concrete's not makif, because it's made of ground. This brings us, I want to discuss the big politics nowadays, scandals in Eretz Yisrael, etc. Gimel Kofman base, your day, of course. And this is what's discussed in your day, Gimel Kofman college, although not discussed the Eretz Yisrael version. Anyone ever been to Aram Nuchas recently? Right? Lemaisa, what happened recently in Eretz Yisrael? Okay, everyone has their own political perspective on this. But there is mitzukat karka l'kvura in Eretz Yisrael nowadays. There's not enough land for cemeteries. There's not enough room to bury people. Now, again, what does it mean there's not enough room to bury people? Obviously, everyone has their own perspective. Some people say there's just not enough room to bury people. What are we going to do? Other people say what you mean is you don't want to spend money on taking land that could be used for something else and then investing the money in, like clearing it out properly to make it into a cemetery. And you're just being cheap because you don't care about Jewish Kavod HaMeis and you care more about spending money on Shtugot. Okay, everyone has their own perspective. Lemaisa, I'm not paskining that, although I have my suspicions. But what do you do if there's not enough room to bury people? So in a lot of places in Eretz Yisrael, so there are different levels of solutions to this. In a lot of places in Eretz Yisrael, what they started doing is doubling up. One aron under the other. And generally, these are married couples. They say the husband and wife get one kever. Whoever dies first, you put him in and put six tefachim of dirt on top of them. And then whoever dies second, you put on top of six tefachim of dirt. It's mutter. The Shulchan Aruch didn't say b'dieved. Shulchan Aruch says no, mutter, as long as you have six tefachim vertically in between. Okay, that's what they started doing in a lot of places. That way, they cut the land use in half. That's not going to help in Haram Nuchos, where there's just too many people and not enough Haram Nuchos. So what have they started doing? They started doing two things. First, what they do is they build, it's for us Americans, it's very weird. Why is this not an issue in America? Because America is massive. There's more land than anyone knows what to do with, which is why, when you tell Americans what a burial plot costs in Israel, they look at you like you came from the moon. Because in America, the most expensive burial plot is a few hundred dollars. It's like, how expensive could it be? There's always 100 acres of empty land that someone could make a new cemetery if they desire. In Eretz Yisrael, not so pashut. Again, someone could ask, really not so pashut, or it just depends on your policies and everything else. But at very least, not so pashut. Meaning, there's certainly not a lot of land in the Tel Aviv area in Eretz Yisrael. In our part of Eretz Yisrael, there's not a lot of land in Yerushalayim. And in other places, maybe there's all kinds of issues. And also, it's very hilly, and there's not a lot of land that would be useful for a cemetery without spending gazillions of dollars, or maybe just $1 million, whatever it is. Okay, everyone has their own opinion on this. Lemaisa, the fact is that nowadays in Israel, there is no place to bury. So what do? They start burying two at a time. Yerushalayim everywhere. Okay, that's based on Sif Gimel, if I recall correctly. No, Dalit. And generally they do for married couples, although I think in Yerushalayim maybe even not. Okay. It's clear to me in common sense, it's not as much Kavod HaMeis as one at a time. Because, that's more mechuvah to give everyone their own dalet amos of Torah. But certainly not, sir. Next solution is, that's not enough. What they've done, if you go to Haram Nuchos, you will see, what they do is, they, in the floor, they make, it's like X by X. So they just make rectangles and make a box and make holes in the ground to bury, like the normal way. And then what they do is they, like a parking garage, they build up another floor on top of that. So now whoever's burying in the dirt, or not the dirt, the rock, has a roof over their heads. And they build a really, really thick space between floor one and floor two. And then they build holes in floor two so you could bury in that floor. And then they build up floor three and a really thick space. And they build holes in floor three so you could bury there. And then et cetera, et cetera. They go up eight stories or whatever. And, it's like a parking garage. Oh, your floor is on the fourth floor. You're burying on the ground to the fourth floor. Is that considered bakarka or not? So me'ikra din misay mechubra lekarka kekarka, and even though it's not the ground, it's and what they do is then they take dirt and put it in all these holes that you also have the mine of dirt, and it's mechubra lekarka. In general, the famous Shulchan Aruch says, "What if I root?" Now it's very popular. Rooftop gardens. Some of yours have that rooftop garden. It's very popular nowadays. You know. It's, I think it's very popular for like very trendy reasons, but it's also like a really nice thing to do and fun, good for your midos, etc. To do rooftop gardening. So is that midoraisa or midorabanan chayim trumas or maisos, etc. You know, an orla and all these other things, is that considered a sada in the ground or not? Says the Shulchan says avada. If you put dirt on your roof, that's the same as your backyard. Once there's, it's mechubar lekarka kekarka dami. That's the shavrash. Okay. He didn't imagine people bury that way. Just because, like, you know, incentive to. But lechora went there, mechubar lekarka kekarka dami. Okay. That's also not enough space. So then what do? They build a big building out of concrete. And they make holes in it, like this, like a mausoleum, right? Big building out of concrete, and they make holes in it, and then each mace, the mace goes into this hole, a mace in here, and a mace in here, and a mace in here, and then you get a lot of mace in there. You just build a big wall, you know, it's, I don't know, how long is a mace? 2 meters? To make like a 5 meter long wall, and with like all boxes, cubby holes this side, cubby holes that side, and then you get 100 mace in right there, and it's a very efficient use of space. And that's what they do in. So basically, they have these like parking garage things. And then the walls of all the parking garage things are like cubby holes to bury the mason. And then cubby holes on the other side, new parking garage thing, etc. That's what they do nowadays in Harav Menuchos. And the free burial paid for by the government is in the cubby holes. And if you pay extra, you can get in the parking garage. And if you pay a lot extra, you could get like two people on top of each other actually in the ground. And if you pay a ton more than that, you get one person around. And that's where, that's why you usually have physical altercations in Harav Menuchos nowadays, because someone shows up and they've been brought up in Israel and they know you get free burial people from the government. And they say, oh, that'll be 50,000 shekel if you want your race buried there. The free one is in the cubby hole. And then it goes downhill from there. Anyway, so is this mutter? So is this mutter? So here's a big deal in the poskim. Can you bury in? Is that considered mechubar lekarka kekarka? Can you just bury in a big like mausoleum? So if you look in Shin Samach Daled, they discuss it's a kever shel binyan, a built kever. Machlokes Rishonim, what is a built kever? Right. So Rashi and others say, oh, geez, you built it above the ground. And the Gos Ashuri and others say, no, it means like you dig under the ground and then you put walls. And a lot of the Rishonim say, a lot of the Poskim say, well, we don't know, no one proves there's an army in the din. Maybe it's an army of what Binyan Shel Kever means. You go under the ground, you just sort of line with bricks the hole, or you build above ground. But they're probably both mutter, because even though they shouldn't argue what a Kever Shel Binyan is, they didn't argue what's mutter, so some of them are both mutter. They're both mutter to build above ground and bury in there, and that's Mechor Lekaka Kikaka Dami. They also put dirt in there. Right, they like put some dirt in the cubby hole, so you'll have to offer. You have offer in the ground. What's the difference if you dig a hole in the rock and there's a little offer there, or you build concrete? Concrete's also a kind of garka dummy. And again, I don't mean they build with metal, etc. They build with concrete, which is also made of dirt. I mean, everyone builds with concrete nowadays. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva gimel sim kuf mem gimel tkuf mem dalet about people who bury mausoleums. Say, totally usher. Then he says, strictly it may occur in its mutter, because kever shel binyan, but it's done by the reformers to try and go against our minhagim, and it's done so they can open it, and it's done so that the mace won't decompose. And he finds all these side reasons why it's a problem, the reform way they did it. But really, it comes out of the Igros Moshe that may occur in, if you weren't doing it to reform, and if you're doing it in a way where the body would decompose, and not where you want to open it and take it out later, etc., and not where you're trying to show that you're not orthodox. It sounds like he doesn't have a problem with Ikra Din if you do it in an orthodox way. Rav Vadya says, Mufurish in the Alkut Yosef, in Avelos, and in Mem Hei Sef Ches, He says, the likvar mesim soch kuchim she yachro samba ovi haksalim. If you dig cubbies in the walls, and he doesn't mean dig cubbies in the rock. Sorry, he says, lishboch offer v'liv l'shem kolim kol mavin. You build concrete walls, then you dig holes in the wall. You dig holes, make it with holes, and bury there ha'ekar l'dinah shemotor likvar v'kuchim. That's like shishat fachim. Me'ekar didn't smutter. Basically, where Moshe says me'ekar didn't usher, but he says it's not that it's not kfur, it's that it's to reform. The assumption is that if you didn't do the way it was before, then me'ikr din mutter. Ravadi says me'ikr din mutter. All poskim say me'ikr din. I don't know. Well, most of the great poskim say me'ikr din mutter. What you have is there's somebody who says, but you can't be misham of the minhag. I think Yashua is quoted saying me'ikr din mutter, but it's also a change minhag. And the other poskim say, of course you shouldn't change minhag, but if you're stuck, then you go by the din. The minhag was if you're not stuck. Then the minig wasn't meant to apply there. And Lamaisa, the minig of the Chever Gadish and Yerushalayim, even though they are very, very from, but they're more business than they are from, is to bury this way. And Me'ikr didn't smutter. The question is, meaning if they're going to bury someone covering the wall, you don't say, oh, we have to stop them. They're doing Aveira. It's a Mizoyan Amesa, et cetera. No, Me'ikr didn't smutter. There's Machar L'Karkid, Karkidami. And they do put dirt inside of the Milo coffer. And they seal it. It's not like most mausoleums. They put it in a way that don't decompose, and they seal it fully. They don't do it in a form way. L'mais Me'ikr didn't smutter. Is it a proper covenant Amesa? After all, a lot of things are Me'ikr didn't smutter, right? Okay. So in the funeral, should everyone come to the funeral in a bathing suit? Me'ikr din, there's nothing that says that everyone in the funeral shouldn't be wearing a bathing suit in the Shulchan Aruch, right? It says in the Shulchan Aruch, when you're diving, you shouldn't wear a bathing suit. Never says in the funeral you shouldn't wear a bathing suit. It's common sense that it's not the most common mace to wear a bathing suit to the funeral. Okay, that was a silly example. We can add that. I think it's common sense to us that maybe once upon a time, thousands of years ago, they did things differently. Maybe theoretically in some places that would be the most mechobed thing. It's common sense to us that it's not the biggest covenant mace to bury this way. And therefore, the minig is that, you know, if the family can afford it, then they pay extra to get a more mechobed as mechobed as they can, to get a more mechobed burial. Because clearly in our modern day society, it's not the biggest covenant mace to not give him his own land. So, okay, but me'ikr din its mutter. You know, if I ran the world, you know, might I say, you know what? Being mechaber the mace, not just being yoytze zayin, being mechaber the mace properly is more important than some other things. And I'm willing to, you know, take away a square kilometer of green space and bury everyone who dies in Yerushalayim for the next 20 years, in their own land, or spend some money, etc. I don't run the world. And if I did, I don't know what I'd say. I don't know, maybe I would see that it's possible. I have no idea. What?
If you have the option to go to your house and do the Chemish, or in a Kodesh, it's a Mala. I was in the Kuchin, before Kuchin. Like you said,
if it was up to me, if someone said I could, again, usually people don't necessarily have the choice because you only have a free burial in the town where you live in your Tudatzei Hut. So if someone dies in Yerushalayim, they say, but I want to be buried in, you know, someplace where there's lots of land, they have to pay a lot of money anyways. They don't live there, so they have to pay a lot of money buried in Har Nuchot. So I don't know how practical it is. Okay, L'maisa, I think it's proper covenant mace if someone can afford it to bury the old-fashioned way. I don't think someone has to, you know, not feed their kids because they, you know, spend 50,000 shekel to be covenant mace if they don't have money to buy food for their kids. You have to use your common sense. And a Hanami, the time of Chazal, they use Kuchin. That's what I mean by common sense. The time of Chazal, they use Kuchin, which is what all the posts can point out. And that was what was done in those days. Could it be that someday everyone will forget about when they used to bury people in the ground and there'll only be these big mausoleums and they'll make them look very nice and everyone will think that's the biggest kavod? Maybe. I just think nowadays... The truth is, nowadays, like, mechubed people aren't burying those. Those are for the poor people, for the people, you know, who no one likes, etc. You know, no.
The mechubed people buy stone plots in Al-Azazin. Of course, $1,000.
Okay, I'm not talking about that. But they work it out somehow. You know, the Muhammad people, you know, their kids spend 15,000 shekel to get like a double plot for mom and dad and hire a new coat someplace in the ground, you know, and they can handle that. Or whatever it may be. Okay. Lemaisa nowadays, just I'll pee what how it feels to us. I don't think it's the biggest covenant. Mace, you could disagree if you want. Okay, Viker. Shin Samach Gimel. Answer Pinoy Hamesvatsamos. Aim if fan and Hamesvatsamos, let me cover Mukhovet, let me cover Mukhovet, let me cover Buzzard, let me cover Buzzard, let me Buzzard, Mukhovet. Even for covet a mace, you can't reinter, disinter, and reinter a mace, even for a Stam covet a mace. What am I, Stam? Oh, I got a nicer place, right? Maybe a nicer location, etc. Even for a nicer place, you cannot reinter a mace. You're not allowed to dig up a mace and rebury him. Why not? Why not? What did the Shach say? Hatam shall build kashul mace and should dar miyom adin. Ah, a mystical reason. Because digging up is kosher for the mason, because they think that, oh, now I'm being brought to the Yomadin, and they get all nervous and upset, etc. Mela, when the end of days comes, they're brought to the Yomadin. Okay, that's what's supposed to be then. But to scare them for no reason is usher. That's called, he doesn't use lotion, cherdas hadin. You're machrid them. You're machrid them because they're afraid of the din. That's usher. Okay, the Gesher Chaim suggests that there might be a second reason that comes up a little later. He says there might be a non-mystical reason, a practical reason. He says, nivel ha-mace. So when we dig up the mace, it's going to look disgusting and smell disgusting. I mean, depending on the exact circumstances, right? If it's an arum, you won't see how it looks, but you might see how it smells, etc. Depending on how much time passed, too little, too much, etc. He says, it could also be a chash of nivel ha-mace. Okay. So he says he thinks there are two reasons, but even Shach mentions one, but Cher de Sandin and perhaps also Nivel Hamis means that you can't dig him up. But is there any level of kavod that's docha that? So yes, there are many exceptions. Well, let's read some of the exceptions. Number one, V'soch shalom afil mechubel lebozoi motor sha'ar v'lodom she'enoch sar itz lavosa. To put him in his own family plot, a person wants to be buried with their family, right? A person wants to bury their family, and therefore you're allowed to dig someone up to bury them with their family. Okay, even though nowadays, the truth is nowadays we're very, very mahram. We don't usually do most of these things, but you could dig someone to bury them with their family. Or to move them to Eretz Yisrael is also mutter. All right, that's the second case. The mile of Eretz Yisrael is docha, or three. The third is not like a dechia, it's just like lo nemra. There's no issue in the first place. Then the snu shalom and aslefanoso motor b'chol inyan. If they put in there originally having in mind temporarily, then there's no issue at all. Because if you only bury him temporarily, then it's as if he's not kona his final place, and there's no issue at all. It is a good question. And does he answer that question? The question is, if the problem nivel hamace, you could say there's no cheres adin because he knows that he's going to be moved, right? But isn't it still nivel hamace? No, it depends. Depends when.
Like in the war, they don't have time to care for everyone.
No, but it doesn't say here. It doesn't say here any conditions. One second. Let's see if he says anything that. Here we are. It's a good question. He doesn't discuss this. We have to look into it. He doesn't obviously answer it. Okay, are there other exceptions? Let's continue.
someone actually told me that that during COVID, they said that apparently this happened a lot. There were people who owned plots in Eretz Yisrael. Someone I know owned a plot in Eretz Yisrael. They couldn't during COVID. Sometimes they could, sometimes they couldn't. It's very complicated. And exactly what day it was. So they did this. They buried him in America, having in mind that when COVID ends, they bring him to Eretz Yisrael. What? They didn't even know that. We try to be more machmir whenever we can. We try to be more machmir whenever we can. Even like the Hetirim that are here, we don't always use them all the time. They don't. Why don't they move every mace to Eretz Yisrael? Because we, you know, we're a little reluctant. You know, unless we feel there's a really strong reason. Let's continue. Stop. What if it's in danger? We're afraid the goyim will desecrate the grave, or that the water will get into the grave. I mean, what's the big problem? Water getting into the grave? Forget about the fact it's bad for public health. Does anyone know what actually happens if the water gets into all the graves and they're not in concrete? Yeah, the masons start going up to the surface if the water gets high enough.
Happening in a flood.
Yeah, and they just like come out of the graves, and that's obviously very bizarre, very big bizarre. Besides the fact, it's very scary to people. So that's also mutter, right? And then there's long discussed basically too. What if the goyim are going to turn it into a parking lot? This and that. Okay, I'm not getting into all these discussions. Lamaisa, we tried very very hard to keep the goyim from desecrating Jewish graveyards, but push comes to shove, the goyim say no, we're building a parking lot here. We don't care, then we would take the mason out and bury them someplace else. I think Aleph maybe is but Pesachei Tshuva talks about this. Okay, continuing. Or Shu kever nimtza mutzel tenoso. It's a kever you find. What do you find? It wasn't owned by the person. No, I have a farm, and all of a sudden I found someone buried someone there, etc. Then if it's bigzela, then it's mutter, like they don't have the right to keep my land forever just because they buried someone there. May offer Eretz Yisrael the kever. The Yeshman exam mashkismochu. Okay, exactly why that's in Shin Samach Gimel and not Shin Samach Aleph. Shin Samach Beis is a good question, it's not a minhag like everyone always does it, but nowadays it's a pretty universal minhag. It's easy enough to get offer Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so there are certain reasons why it would be mutter, even though generally it would be usher. As the Shach says, any kind of cover that's not listed here, we would not be mutter. Pesachei Tshuva mentions one other case is if someone was buried in a Goyish cemetery, we'd for sure take them out to bury them in a Jewish cemetery. That's not Muslim cover. That's Goyish Jewish. That's a valid reason. No, the Gilgim Arsha says in the last Simon, the force that B'di'evan, we don't move because Rosh Hashanah said it's not the same as Goyish. That's a Gilyan Marsha, et cetera, et cetera. Am I wrong? Ah, yeah. Haloshamor de Rak Lechatchila. Okay, see, the Paskin B'di'evan, we don't do that. Okay, I'm not going to go into everything, all the details in the Achronim here, just because you know we want to move a little. Okay, so those are the five heterim in the Mechaber, again with his family to Israel, if it was temporary in the first place, if it's in danger, or if it's you know without permission of the owner, and the important thing the Pesachei Tshuva says at the very beginning of the first Pesachei Tshuva, or if it's with Goyim. But with Risharim, no, that's the Gilui Marsha in the second last Gilui Marsha in Shin Samach Beis. Mechaber Shukan Beis. Emel lichem meis me'ir sheishva kvaros le'ir acheres elam kei michot la'aretz la'aretz. You can't, this is not talking about reinterring. If a guy dies, you can't bring him to bury in a different city. If there's a Jewish cemetery in his city, you can't move him to a different city unless he's going to Israel. Ramah oshem lichem zavah kibbutz avosa, where he's going with his family. Or v'im tziv lo lichem makom l'makom, where he asked to be brought to a different place, or Shativa Lakarva Beso, below Beso Kvaros, so he has to be buried at home, not in the cemetery. Nowadays, that we consider very weird. But technically, now I don't think we would listen nowadays, just because it's, you know, so against the minhag. But technically, we would. Shomen Lo, Okay, but normally, why can't you bring it to another city is a big machlokas. What are the two opinions? What does the Shach say? And what does Rabbi Akiva Eger say? The Pesach Yitro brings down. We're not going to the Nafkaminas, but the Shach says, because it's insulting to the other mason in his town. He has a perfectly good cemetery. You bring him to a different town, it's insulting. What, are these people aren't good enough? And the Rabbi Akiva Eger says, the Pesach Yitro brings down, from others who say that, that no, it's because he's going to this mace. If he's someplace here, why transport him a long way, which, you know, then the body will suffer, et cetera. Won't look nice, won't smell nice, et cetera. So either it's residing to the other mason here or residing to him. But either way, it's not such a strong guess, because for any reason, you're allowed to, even if it's Eretz Yisrael, okay, that's a big reason, or to be with his family's a big reason, or he just said he wanted to. That's also a good enough reason to be docha, this small isser. The end, he says here, you're allowed to put lime burns flesh. You're allowed to put lime on the body to burn away the flesh and leave only bones in order to carry him to the place he wanted to go. This is a bit of machlokas why this is. The Taz says something. He says, why? Because it says, noach benadim. Ah, because as long as the flesh is there, he still has judgment. And when the flesh decomposes, that ends the din. So if you put lime and burn the flesh away quickly, he has less din. That seems very strange. I think most achronim, I haven't counted. But I think most achronim disagree. If you look in the Pesach Tshuva, in Sifkat and Hay, quoting some place called the Har Ovel, which I'm not sure exactly who that is. He says there's no Isser putting wine, but you can't trick God. He says you can't trick God. It doesn't work that way. You can't and you shouldn't try to trick God. And therefore you shouldn't think you can get out of the din or try to get out of the din by the wine. What's the Pashup Shat, the Heter? Pashup Shat, the Heter Ramad, now who's getting out of the din? Pashup Shat, the Ramad is why are you putting wine? Because he has to be carried far away in the old days. What happens if you carry a mace for 2 weeks someplace far away? And it stinks to high heaven. And it's a tremendous bizayim. Ah, but if you just leave the bones and you carry them for 6 months, then they don't smell. So Pasha, the head to the Ramah was, if he requested to be buried in Eretz Yisrael far away, not like nowadays, there's tons of refrigerators, etc. And it was impossible because of the stench, then it's mutter to burn away the flesh with wine, the kind of stuff of where he wants to be buried. But not to trick God and get out of the din. This Taz is very strange, and Pashas, we don't possibly like it. Okay, there's an interesting discussion here in the end of Pesach Tshuva Hay about the autopsies. Here's where he brings down the note of Yehuda Chassam Sofer about autopsies, where I said what the main reason they ejected was Nivel HaMeis. Okay, it belongs here. And they said it's usher to do autopsies because Nivel HaMeis unless this Kol HaBefaneinu. Okay, what I quoted earlier is found right here in the end of Pesach Tshuva, Sifkatan, he quotes the famous Noda Behuda, Bagdamas Noda Behuda, sorry, Ubitruus Noda Behuda, Neshal, the Rofim Chotchu, someone who died. If you need an autopsy to figure it out, says if there's a hole of vanenu, yes, and if not, not. And then he quotes Chassam Sofer, who said the same thing. Okay. The Noda Behuda wasn't discussing the case. He didn't say whether the guy was mochel or whether the guy was not. But the Chassam Sofer dealt with it. Someone who wanted to sell himself, not altruistic reasons. Yeah. He would make money by signing off his body to the medical school for autopsy lab. Mamish autopsy lab. He's talking about Chassam Sofer's days, they had autopsy lab. He says that's certainly not because nefesh, because no cholim fanenu, and therefore he says isra na en evil. Remember? One of the boards, so for two reasons, the people only said one reason. He says, and even if the guy's mochel, I'm so for old, it doesn't help because it's a tzelem elokim, and he has no right to be mochel on Hashem's creating human beings to tzelem elokim. Okay. Just to briefly, Gimel, Ein Malakdin Atzomas Lomitocha Erv Lomitocha Kever Letzadzelik Borshamis Achel Tocha Makom. Let's say someone already decomposed, it's just bones. You say, oh, just collect the bones, clear up the place, and you can bury them in a very small place. No, not design a mace. You can't like say, oh, well, now that you're only bones, I'll bury you someplace smaller so you get room for someone important. No, the guy has to stay in his cover forever. Dalin Makom Shinogin Likvor Mamoros. Below Aron Aron Mutter. That was exactly what Feigl referred to in the old days. How did they do it? They buried in holes or probably caves. I mean, holes are caves, not natural caves. They dug. Okay, they dug in the rock and they buried and left him there or wherever it was till the flesh rotted away. Then they collected the bone, put the bones in Aron. Those days, the Aron was of wood. It was cheris, better. And then they put the kli cheris in a small place. And that was their minhag. If that's the minhag, it's okay. If it's not nowadays, you can't say, oh, the black bone will clear out space. But if it's a minhag to just put temporarily and then reinter the bones, that's called likra tzamos in the Gemara. When you collect the bones, after a year there, sometimes do it, and then bury the bones in a jug in a small place, that's perfectly fine if that's the minhag. Nowadays, it's not the minhag. I know someone, an Eretz Yisrael, a friend, who says, we should start doing that again. Eretz Yisrael solve all the problems. But he hasn't gotten a lot of people to listen to yet. Again, when that was the minhag, you know, and some will say, oh, it'll be the minhag, and you'll see that people love it and consider it very mechubet. But right now, it seems to make common sense to be not a big cover mace. Hey, Aaron Shapino, Asurba Noim, Michelle Evans, Michelle Harris, Shavish, sorry, if you clear out an aron for some reason, not that you're supposed to dig up mace, but whatever reason, you know, the aron was removed from its place. It's Asurba Noah. Remember, everything is mace Asurba Noah. If it's stone, it's just Asurba Noah. Nothing you can do with it. If it's cherish, you break it into pieces. And if it's eight, you burn it. Basically, you get rid of it as much as you can. Whatever you can't get rid of is Asurba Noah. I'm also in a certain base at first, you see koman. If you find wood in the base at first, you assume it's from an aron. And it's Asurba Noah, and therefore you don't touch them. Also, you can't open the grave, once it's been sealed, afilim orin a yorshim, not to reinter, just open the grave to examine. Even if the yorshim demanded, they lived over Yavish Day Saras, this is the case of the Gemara. The mace did a transaction, sold an expensive field cheap, and ain't on all the karkos. So the yorshim are out $3 million. The yorshim say, what do you mean? He wasn't a guggle. Check his guff. He wasn't a guttle, it's not a valid transaction. We want our $3 million. Nope, they're not allowed to be novel the mace. It's nibble the mace just to examine him. Kolshki do autopsy lab. And they're not allowed to novel the mace, even to save money, because it's an isser of nibble a mace. Okay, there's tons of discussions here, which we're not going to go into for the sake of time, of are there exceptions? What about nibble a mace for covet a mace? How much covet a mace? Let's say we forgot to put on one of the proper tachrichin that I'll be minhag, I'll be sold. What if we forgot to put his limbs in the right place? What if we know the goyim desecrated some boros and we're not sure if it was his and we want to check, etc. Okay, all these, and there's all these discussions. Maybe all the achronim discuss nibble ames and discuss cheredes adin. Maybe it depends if there's cheredes adin or not. Maybe a katan doesn't have cheredes adin, only gadol does. Maybe cheredes adin is only while the flesh is there and it's still in the din and not afterwards. Well, Das Yachid, nivel amase. Maybe there's only nivel amase if it's already been a day or two and it smells and it's falling apart. And maybe there's no nivel amase after 12 months or 2 years or whatever because it's just bones already and they're all nice and clean and shiny. Okay, that's all the discussions on the page and tons more off the page of when can be mitzarev. Maybe it's karet, there's no karet that did. Maybe there's no nivel amase. Maybe there's a good reason, etc. We're not getting into it now. Ayin Sham, I'll just point out one thing, which is basically true with the Sivkat and Zion, he says. What about to be matter and good? Someone's buried, and the wife shows up and says, you know, I want to do a DNA test. And those says, I have a simen that even after he dies, I can still check the simen. You know, and you want to identify him. So can you do it to identify him so his kids stay Kaddish and his wife can remarry? It's a big machlokas. The Maisa, nowadays, we basically try to, like, find lots of evidence before we bury him so that if someone shows up, like, we already did a DNA test, and we already have the dental records, and we took x-rays of everything, et cetera, so we don't have to do this. But theoretically, in the old days, Lamaisa and the Minigas, we would examine Chimatra Naguna. We consider that such a strong need of his that he's mokal as kavod, and
it's not his kavod that, you know, we should know, you know, etc. The Maisa,
we are making on that. Okay, again, there's a lot more lumdus about how to interact Perdas Adin, Nivlamais, when it applies, when it doesn't, and what Sorech would be enough, you know, to be Docha it, and Ein Shem, but we're going to stop for now, and we'll have to pick up from Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. So remember, 2 days in a row, I apologize, just, you know, crazy schedule, we'll be back to normal next week. We'll have to stop now. Just a quick question.